The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is All Things Elite. Welcome back to All Things Elite. Load up the pod, man, it's on when we speak. Rich right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to All Things Elite from the fan perspective, swear, man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first. Swear, man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social Suplex Network Zone. I was at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on the rant, getting in the zone. Pulling up the show, give it 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for a positivity? I'm gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 242nd episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with a proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Sumwitz, and I am the host of this lovely show, joined as well, not just by my partner, Floyd Johnson Jr., but with a completely shot voice. As you can tell, my voice is destroyed. But as always, I am here with my buddy, Floyd Johnson Jr., my co-host, my confidant, my co-pilot, all that kind of stuff. My man, how are you doing?
About 24 hours ago, I was sitting here working. Quote unquote working, playing a little college football, like very happy.
You're recruiting.
Yeah, recruiting. Getting that recruiting, always be recruiting. And I was very excited, and I was on the phone with JR, and a person, you know, called for work. You know, I put, hung up with JR, took the call, and he's like, oh, my system is just rebooting over and over and over and over and over again. And I got a blue screen. And I'm like, what the hell? And then we're in the middle of the conversation. And then all of a sudden, just all these alerts, shit's just hitting the fan. And I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. Like, I've never seen this. I've worked in the same place, which I don't talk about my job very often because I work in IT. But I worked at the same place and shit's just breaking. And I'm like, alarms are going off, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? And while I'm on the call, my shit just goes down. I have a remote connection to my network. I have no access. It just goes down.
Yeah.
Yes! There's this, over the last 24 hours, there was a major outage. And when I say major,
bro,
I'm talking billions with a B of money lost in the last 24
Absolutely.
Hours.
I mean, just to give you perspective how it affected me, I mean, like my buddy Jared came over to Michigan, hung out with us for the week, which is one of the reasons why my voice is shot, because we were at Cedar Point riding roller coasters, screaming our heads off. So my voice is just gone. But he was flying back tonight, and Delta, American Airlines, like a couple other, I think one or two other airlines, like Detroit International Airport was just Detroit Metro Airport, a complete shit show, like just this morning. So we were concerned about his flight tonight to get back home. Thankfully, he was flying back Southwest and got on his flight no problem because it took off at like 8:25. So he was good.
But yeah.
There was a worry there. My work, their morning show had to be scrambled to be put together because they had no computers working right there. All their IT stuff just went dead.
So, yeah, if he tried to fly out this morning, he wouldn't have.
He would not have made it. No chance in hell.
Jeremy Padawar from Jazzwares, he posted. And it's funny because everybody's posting about it. And I'm like, this is crazy because I was literally working when it happened. CrowdStrike, Microsoft had an outage, and boy, did, yeah. So my last 24 hours has been just nothing but a headache. It was literally, I had six or seven hours left on my shift. It was the longest 6 or 7 hours of my life. I can honestly say I've never seen anything like that. Yeah, so like I said, billions with a B of probably lost money or whatever, airlines, banks, like all sorts of places. You know, like I said, I don't talk about much of what I do, but this literally, this isn't my job news. This is world news. this shutdown, governments, they couldn't get on the internet. Because from what I understand, just code got uploaded. And yeah, it restarted systems. And on a lot of machines, it just hosed them and made them get blue screen. So that's what I dealt with all night. Yeah, it was not been a good 24 hours in the IT world. I'm like, some of my friends was like, oh, everyone knew it happened. Some of my people were, knew it had it. Some didn't. But yeah, it was fucking nuts. And like, when I say it, I'm talking about 24 hours. We're past the initial 24 hours of suck, right? But we're probably going to be dealing with this at least a week. At least.
Yeah.
Like, I have collision tomorrow, which, hey, make sure you see me. I'll be in the first row. What? I have a road to all in. And it's just like, I was like, oh, my initial goal was like, I was going to go to my sister's house in Texas, like, right after we recorded. And then I was going to work from Texas. It's going to be so hectic tomorrow. There's no way I can't be in front of my actual desk. So I'm going to work here until pretty much like the moment that I need to leave and to go to Texas to see the show, because it's just, yeah, it's a shit show. It's a shit show. I am, when I work, I'm probably one of the most professional people people at work don't think I cuss, because I don't. But when I called the person that I had to call to let them know, and I'm like, I'm trying to explain, and I was like, well, you know, when you get a little excited, I tend to talk a little quickly. So I'm like, I'm going to slow this down. It's not an insult to you. It's because I know when I get amped up, I talk a little fast. Everything is down. Nothing is working. He's like, I can't see shit is what I said. And then he was like, and it was funny because, he's who he is. He says, oh, fuck. And he is one of the smartest IT people I know. When he says, oh, fuck, my butt puckered. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. So, we dealt with this. Hours and hours. And a lot of times, I didn't have access to anything. So I'm literally talking to people completely blind. I haven't done this since I was like working in a call center where it's like people at home, tell me what you see on your screen. Now do this. And they were frustrated. I haven't done this in years.
Right.
Like, I don't know how to do this. Exactly. I used to be able to remote and all that stuff. I know everybody don't want to hear this, but understand the only reason I'm talking about this was a major event.
Huge. This was a worldwide thing.
Yeah, so you're just getting a little one person's point of view of a worldwide event. So it's like, yeah, it was crazy. We made it through. Played some college football today. College football came out last week. We talked about it this week. Having a great time. Recruiting is hard. But it's funny because it brought, you know, it's kind of brought us back together. Friends that I don't talk to as often, we're talking again. Boy, Rich Latta. I mean, I got a lot to say about Rich Latta on the show, but my boy Rich Latta playing with UMass on this because he's a sicko. You know, our college football sicko, my boy Austin, playing with Central Michigan. I am the offensive coordinator for Florida State.
And I just went straight to head coach, yeah.
Now, I went offensive coordinator. I want to build myself up because what I want to do is take a small school like you. Me, it's UTSA. I've been talking about it for a long time. University of Texas, San Antonio. So I wanted to get my recruiting and stuff up because I want to build up a smaller school and because I want to go, you know, it's dynasty, so I'm going to go through once as offense coordinator. I'm going to once through as a defense coordinator. Then I'm going to go through as a head coach because that's how I roll. But, yeah, so I'm having a crap ton of fun. But, again, my week has kind of been weird. I'm not saying I had a bad week. Like I always say, I look at the bigger scope of life. And in the bigger scope of life, my life is really good. So, but, yeah, my PlayStation just started turning off.
Yeah.
I would rather an hour and it just power off and the power supply needs to be replaced. So anybody that listens to the show, know someone in the Oklahoma area that can that does mechanical work, do it. I have shaky hands, so I can't. But yeah,
Man, Xbox would never do this.
Xbox would never do this. Yeah, because you know they never had a, like a circle of death. I forgot what it was called. That never happened.
Yeah, that thankfully I when I got into Xbox though was with the newer 360, so I never experienced that.
Yeah, as
so.
I say, that never happened. No one
never happened to me. Never happened to me. I got well behind that.
So again, this is weird. So I was a day one PlayStation 2 guy, right?
Right.
Had the same PlayStation 2 until I moved to PlayStation 3. Day one PlayStation 3 guy. Had the same PlayStation 3 until I moved to PlayStation 4. Same thing with PlayStation 4. My PlayStation 5, this will be the first PlayStation I've ever had to replace.
Whew.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah. Four in, day one, four in. This is the first one I'll ever have to replace.
Yes. And also, for anyone who is thinking about making Central Michigan their dynasty, real quick before we get into the AEW, if you are thinking of making CMU your dynasty, be cautioned. This team sucks. I love my school. I love the Chippewas, fire up chips and all that kind of stuff. And we got good players on that team. I promise you we do. But we are ranked as a 1.5-star program. And I proceeded to lose a heartbreaker in week 2 to Florida International to go 1-1. Sucks. I lost by one score. Killer interception in the end zone. And I thought I had pass interference on the defense, but nope, it was an ineligible receiver downfield because my center decided to run way too far. But more so than that, I lose that game against Florida International. Now I have to go play a Big Ten school, traveling to Champaign, Illinois to play the Fighting Illini. And, you know, that's great. You know, I'm not even into Maction, and I got to worry about freaking playing in Illinois to avoid a losing season 3 weeks into the season. So... It's a tough ask. If you play a CMU, I'm telling you, you are asking for trouble. Even if you play it on varsity difficulty like I am, because I'm too scared to play Heisman.
Yes, we are moving on to wrestling in just a second, but yes. I do have a really quick question. Who is Central Michigan and Eastern Michigan same level? Or
They are in the same conference. Yes, Central Michigan, Eastern, and Western, same conference, and okay. Division One. Yeah,
okay, because you got Michigan and Michigan State, which are the big schools. And Michigan, yes. Most of their recruits come from Ohio, right?
Relatively so. If I were to go to their recruiting board, you get a lot of, like, it's all that Midwest area. You're trying to beat out, if you're Michigan, you're trying to beat out Ohio State. If you're CMU, you're trying to beat out Michigan, basically, with your recruits. That's kind of how it goes.
Yeah, because, you know, you got the holy trinity of schools, states, Florida, Texas, California. But Ohio's four, you know what I mean? They're the fourth richest recruit area in the country. So it's just like... When you're like the third in that third school level of, you know, it has to be hard to, recruit on that.
Absolutely. No, I mean, like you've got like Michigan can get guys from Michigan, from Florida, from California, from D.C., like the other areas of the Midwest. So they can get a ton of people that like my school could never. And if you're a Michigan recruit and you get recruited by the Wolverines, you're probably going to the Wolverines, not my baby little CMU, you know? Like, it just doesn't happen, you know? Unless you want to live in Mount Pleasant, which is a great town. They have great weed.
I'm imagining most people aren't like, I dream of going being a Chippewa when I grow up, you know?
I mean, I did. That was the only school I went to for my recruit, when I was applying for college. It was the only school I applied to, and I got in.
Yes, that's awesome. That's awesome here. I got actually into Florida State and Oklahoma State. Well, actually, I wanted to go to Florida State. But before I was old enough to realize it was my decision, my parents said I couldn't go, so I just said, okay, I'm not going. I was like, well, whatever. Yeah. No, but, it's just like, dude, I'm one of those people. College football, I mean, I love my Chiefs. I love Patrick Mahomes, but my favorite first sports love was college football, Florida State and all that stuff, recruiting, the tradition. Now it's completely different from what I grew up on, but
yes.
I still love the pageantry. This is my favorite video game ever. It's not even close. The college football series was always my favorite. I mean, cumulative hours. I would have said I put in more cumulative hours into that than pretty much any game, except Madden now, because Madden had this 10-year area where there was no college football. But yeah, so I'm really excited about it. So if you hear over the next year or so us talking about it, we just went 11 years without this game. So please forgive me. I talk about what I love, and I love wrestling, and I love that college football game.
Yeah, so we will now finally move on to all things Elite, because of course Dynamite turned 250 episodes, so we got to get into this absolutely spectacular episode of Dynamite that we just had. We're going to get into all of that, and it's just and Floyd's already just chomping at the bit.
Not even the show. This is just like precursor to the show. AEW, in my opinion, as a hardcore fan that's going to show up to everything, right? They have to do better about celebrating these points. I forget what I'm trying to think of the word that I'm trying to use, but these are huge goalposts, right? Right. It's like, so you had the 5th anniversary of Dynamite. I mean, 5th anniversary of AEW and Double or Nothing. It feels if this was the big company, you know, if this was the flagship of wrestling, WWE, you would be hearing about it up for a year up until the fifth anniversary. I remember when it was like when they did the 25th anniversary of Raw, 30. You were hearing about that, oh, we're going to do this big thing 6 months in advance, and then they didn't live up to it, but hey, they still did it, right?
Right.
It feels like they mentioned it was the 5-year anniversary of AEW a couple times, but it really wasn't like, man, we're going to do this big thing for the 5-year anniversary of AEW. So you get to 250 episodes, right? I literally don't know how many episodes Nitro got to. I couldn't tell you, but you're in top five of, you know, weekly episodic shows like this, right? This is a monument in AEW. They mentioned it 2 weeks before the show, maybe? A week before the show?
Nitro got up to 288 episodes.
Yes, yeah, you're only 38 episodes from catching Nitro. Like, probably the longest running show that's not a Raw or SmackDown, right? So I'm like, dude, celebrate this shit. Because it's not a celebration of AEW. It's not Tony Khan like...
No, it's just called Dynamite 250. There's no... it was a big celebration, you'd have... you know, callbacks to previous episodes of Dynamite that were like historic and stuff like that, or all that kind of stuff. I think the problem is, I'm not going to say it now.
No, because the big thing with TK, and it's like, I don't know, maybe you think you'd be like, it's like pointing, like, look at what we did. But those type of celebrations, 250, 300, 5 years, 10 years, it's a celebration of your fans too. The people that have been there since day one. You know, the people that have been there since day 10 or day 100, that, you know, your show, as much as you hear people, you heard a doubter say, oh, man, yeah, he'll be around for a minute. All In was their peak. They're never going to do anything better than that. You know, all the people that have been doing that forever, those are the people you're all celebrating. And it's like, if I knew... like, I don't do the math of what Dynamite episode it is. If I knew a few months before 250 or whatever, Little Rock's only 5 hours away. There's no way I'm not there, right? But, shit, I found out a week or two before. Like, now in my own head, I started planning for next year. 300, I did my own math. 300 is supposed to be... the first week of July 2025, and they sometimes do those shows in Chicago, and I'm like, man, so in my head, it's like, as soon as they announce that show, I know I'm going to be there, but that's something I have to do. AEW is not going to give me the warning, and I'm like,
right.
They really do need to give it. I mean, it's marketing. Do you think you would have only had 3,000 if you had started building up AEW Dynamite 250 as this... hey, this event, and you, when you look at the show, what started the show and what ended the show, that's a 5,000 to 10,000 5,000 to 10,000 person card, but because of how you marketed it, you did it in front of 3,000 people, which is not bad or whatever, but it would have been a bigger deal. A lot of people I know would have made it the trip for 250.
Especially with how good the damn show was.
The show was amazing. You stacked the show, but you didn't give the marketing with it to blow the show with it. Like I say, I'm not, again, business side or whatever, I'm talking as a fan. You didn't tell me that this was coming. And I know some of the hardcores know, but yeah. For the sickos, hey, sicko celebration. We got to 250, you know what I mean? And I know I say we, I know I don't work for them, but in a lot of ways, you know, the people that have supported in the beginning are a foundation of the company. So, I don't know. It was funny, and just going along with this, I wish my friend a happy birthday, and he was like, oh man, are you still on the AEW bandwagon? It's like, on it? Fuck that, I drive the bandwagon.
Pretty much, yeah.
I'm like, I'm not on it. I'm like, dude, I'm the conductor. Come on.
Hey, let's go, man.
So
I totally get where you're coming from with that, because again, with how great this show was, you would love to see it be treated as way more as a celebration as just opposed to as a Dynamite with a different, like, you know, subtitle. You know what I mean?
It's to me, clearly the best Dynamite of the year. So that's why I wanted to get that out the way before we started talking about the show. Because I have nothing but positive stuff to say about
this. Yeah, that's pretty much the only negative thing I can say about it, yeah.
The only, like, what's the negative? What's the worst thing about the show? I wasn't there. That's the bad part about it. Because it was an amazing show. So, yeah, let's fucking go. Let's talk about
it. Let's go. So the show opened up with the AEW International Champion, the Aerial Assassin, Will Ospreay, defending his title against MJF. This freaking fracking match. Almost an hour of just bell to bell, unbelievable wrestling. It was.
Yeah.
To go over everything in this match would be near impossible. But the level of just intensity these guys wrestled with, the outstanding moments, the just cardio level to go this hard and long for this match was spectacular. And I mean, MJF is just like, to keep, like, everyone talks about Will Ospreay as, like, you know, we know what he is. This dude is just far and away the best wrestler that AEW has. And a guy like MJF, for the better part of the last year and a half, was doing a lot of sports entertainment, like kooky comedy wrestling kind of stuff. And now MJF just put on pretty much what could be considered the match of the year on Dynamite 250. And like, he's still healing it up, doing everything that you know MJF to be with during that match, whether it be throwing water or tearing up signs or all this kind of stuff, you know. And then they had the great moment in the crowd where Will Ospreay gets a little girl to beat up MJF in the stomach, which I thought was one of my favorite parts of the entire match. But man, it was just such an unbelievable match. It was just, I just seemed to keep going, and I could not believe how incredible each moment was. The moment where MJF is like, I'm the smartest fucking man in the world, and then proceeds to get Hidden Blade in the back of the head from a diving Will Ospreay through the bottom and middle rope. And then as you get it in there, there's 30 seconds left. The referee gets knocked down thanks to MJF shoving him in there. And it was after he looked to try to do the Tiger Driver. And once again, he holds himself off and can't do it. And that's when the referee goes down. MJF has the Dynamite Diamond ring in his hand, and he knocks down Will Ospreay with that ring. Time ticks down on the Titantron, and with about like 3 or 2 seconds left, ref is able to get up and count, and MJF is your new international champion. Will Ospreay now, 2 losses in the span of like 2 weeks, which is kind of insane considering the run that he was on. And now MJF is champion once again. He is holding the international champion championship, and huge victory for MJF. Come wearing a gas mask, trying to get oxygen and stuff after the match, and just being helped by security and all that kind of stuff. And then proceeds to go on social media in an ice bath and announce that he's going to be wrestling at CMLL as well. I mean, just what a fucking start to the show. Mm-hmm. I think it went like 20 minutes with no commercials and then had like two pictures in pictures. But I mean, just the match was just a fucking journey. Absolutely could not believe how good this match was.
59:58. That's the time on the clock. 2 seconds left. Like 30 minutes in, everyone's calling it. It's going to be a draw. It's going to be a draw. They're doing a draw. Everybody's calling it. It's going to be a draw. So that, yeah. So everybody was wrong. And there's one conversation that literally I'm hoping this match put to rest. It should have been put to rest a long time ago. Dog collar matches. Iron Man match for Bryan Danielson. MJF is not just a character.
No.
And if you just say he's just a character, but he really can't work, conversation over with me. I'm going to say it respectfully. I'm just going to be like, okay, you have your opinion. And I'm just going to stop. I will not engage, because this man has proved that he believes in you save elite performances for elite moments. Will Ospreay's level 100 every match. That's how he rolls. That's who Will Ospreay is. MJF, it's all about the story, and he wants the moment to mean something. Anytime he's putting a big moment in a big match, he doesn't just show up there. He is move for move just as good as the other person. He still does everything he believes in, as you said, but move for move, he's right there on a different level. And this dude, it was amazing. Like I said, it's like, it's crazy. Because I really want to give Will Ospreay compliments, right? But I'm not going to say anything new. What am I going to say that I didn't say for the Swerve match? What am I going to say about Will Ospreay that I didn't say against Bryan Danielson? What am I going to say about Will Ospreay that I didn't say against Takeshita? You know, for personally, he's the best, to me, in-ring performer of this generation. And I don't think it's close. Don't be shocked that people's best matches always are with Will Ospreay. This is what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And MJF, right there on the level. Like, MJF has done this with Ospreay. He has done this with Bryan Danielson. He has done this with CM Punk. You know, I mean, shit. You can't get too many of a different, you know, type of wrestlers. So all your favorite wrestlers, Will Ospreay, I mean, MJF has been on their level. So that's why I'm going to focus on MJF, because God dang, MJF, he says flippy shit, blah, 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 all that shit. Dude, that dude works with it so well. He was in, fan to just watched a lot of years. He was in the right position of where he was supposed to, you know, in the match to take the stuff. Like when Ospreay busted out the Fosbury flop, MJF's right where he's supposed to be. When he does the I'm smarter than everybody and takes the clothesline, oh my God. Oh my, it looked like he died when he took that.
Literally looked like he got concussed.
Dude, it's so sick. I'm like, oh fuck, is he going to get up? Dude, the styles clashes
that he took, and then the crossroads from Will Ospreay.
Yes. Beautiful, beautiful. And then he takes out the ring, and he does it where you literally don't see the ring until it hits Will Ospreay in the face. Until it hits the Ospreay in the face, it wasn't this big comedic, I'm putting on the ring. It was like, I'm trying to fucking win. So if you see me putting on the ring, you saw him doing something. But you didn't see the ring until, boom, right in Ospreay's face. 1, 2, 3. Dude, new international champion. Man. You know, one thing I've known about Will Ospreay since I was introduced to him, that man does not, you know, That man puts in just as much. I think he might put in more effort when he's going to lose than when he wins. I don't know. It looks like it's the same. But this match was fucking epic. If I always say, I'm trying not to be a slave today and say, this is the best Dynamite match I've ever saw. Man, that's kind of crapping on the history of Dynamite, because there's been some great matches in Dynamite history. I can say I probably haven't seen a better Dynamite match. That's the nice way. That's the even way I can put it until I, you know, go through, watch a couple matches again. But man,
it's hard. Yeah, dude.
I was front row for Hangman and Bryan Danielson's 1 hour draw, which I thought was going to be clearly forever the best match in Dynamite history. And dude, no, we've had some good shit. So
yeah, we have.
Yeah, so no, this was Chef's Kiss. I honestly don't even know what Meltzer rated it. I didn't even look for it. I know because it comes out on Friday. I don't even know what he rated the match, but I know it was fucking awesome. I know I love the match. I'm like, if you ask me, it was 5 stars. You know, I am not Dave Meltzer though. I do not have the pedigree to be him. But if you ask me, it was 5 stars.
It was definitely, I would say, it would be there, I would think. I can't imagine why it wouldn't be. But yeah, so immediately out of the game, huge start. We then go backstage with the Acclaimed, who are talking to Mark Briscoe and say, you know, we know you're in Blood and Guts. You need some partners. The only way you get the best wrestler alive on your side is when the Acclaimed is together. Plus, we beat the Young Bucks a couple weeks ago, so we got their numbers. It's a no-brainer. Put us in there. And Bowens goes, we're this close to becoming AEW Tag Team Champions again. Plus, when you think of AEW, you think of the Acclaimed because everybody loves the Acclaimed. Briscoe goes, yep, you guys had my back a couple weeks ago. As far as I'm concerned, y'all are in. I'm not the only one calling the shot. And Swerve Strickland, the AEW World Champion, comes out and goes, we've been through our squabbles over the past few years, so I know y'all are some tough people. And there's no better people to go to war with than some people you've done battle with. So ask them if they want to get violent. And then Briscoe coming through the middle goes, we're coming for you, Elite. So Swerve, Mark Briscoe, and the Acclaimed as the four. We were still waiting on the fifth, which got announced later that night, of who would be in Team AEW. And also with a promo that was cut later in the night, it became very clear who was going to be the fifth. I've talked enough about how I don't feel like this team is even remotely close to as stacked as Team AEW was for Anarchy in the Arena. I feel like it's beating a dead horse. But with the team in its entirety, I think it does a fair enough job of representing AEW. I just feel like there's definitely some more help it needs. But I think the biggest thing that's being carried with it is the fact that Hangman's now on Team Elite, and he wants to get his hands on Swerve. And that is the most interesting thing about this match, because anything with the Bucks sure isn't interesting. Jack Perry, not even close. Okada, absolutely. I care immensely about Okada. He's become the new Chuck Norris of AEW. Have you seen the signs that have been made about Okada? This man is just a god amongst men and just the greatest thing that has ever happened to those three schmucks in their entire lives. And the baby faces are whatever, you know? Like, I love Swerve. Of course, he's a great AEW World Champion, and he's there representing AEW because, of course, he is. It makes sense. The Acclaimed are good, really, really good. But, you know, we had FTR prior, you know? So you see the difference. And Mark Briscoe is spectacular. We always love Mark Briscoe. But it just doesn't stack up. I don't want to dig too much in on it, but, you know,
okay.
We'll talk.
Yeah, I was going to say, my thoughts with yours is, so I largely agree with you, but I don't just want to repeat what you said, so I will take a different take on it. It is driving home a lot of stories in AEW, right? The Acclaimed are going after the tag team titles.
Yep.
So it's driving that home.
They did the diss track and everything like that. Yeah.
It looks like Darby is going to be Jungle Boy's first, Jack Perry's first real challenger for the championship. Of course, you can't. Should you ever have a Team AEW without the world champion? You know what I mean? And then Mark Briscoe is kind of like, I feel like he might be the quarterback of all this plunder, but I was like, honestly, he's kind of odd man out. Maybe they're building to a Continental Classic match with Mark Briscoe and Okada. You know, it's kind of like, I would like to see a feud. Okada's wrapped up in this right now, but I would like to see a feud or some kind of stakes in the Continental Classic thing. But I think this is a great blood. I think this is a great lineup for Blood and Guts, because everyone knows this is leading to the next thing. Like Blood and Guts, even if you look at the history of Blood and Guts, it's never been the last step in the war.
It's very much because they've used Blood and Guts to continue stories.
Yes, this is the Lord of the Ring Two Towers of the situation. You know, sometimes it's the best match, but it's not the last match. So, no, I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be epic. I think it'll be awesome. I don't think Max and Bowens are going to take anything away from the match. I mean,
no,
Bowens
is absolutely not. I'm not trying to imply that.
No. I know you're not, but I just like. Our opinion that it should be someone else is largely the opinion of the internet. You know what I mean? So I'm trying to address it as in the larger idea that, we'd want someone else. But FTR, you know, Dax is just coming back from getting healed. Do you want him in this kind of match right after the injury? I don't know. I don't even know if they were ever even discussed. I don't know enough. But the claim is who we get. It's a solid five. I can say this. I always try to look at the bright side. I don't feel bad about not missing the show. Because I was going to, you know, I was like, oh, man, I'm going to try to go to Nashville. And it didn't work out with my schedule. And it was just like, oh, man, if FTR is in this match, I'm going to be so pissed. And they were. So that's where we're at. And just to go back to our last segment real quick, Dave Meltzer gave Ospreay and MJF 5 3/4 stars.
I knew he was going to give it more than 5. I just had a feeling.
And it's the highest rated TV match in AEW history. I mean, crazy. Ospreay has been in AEW 6 months. He literally has the highest rated pay-per-view, or highest rated match in AEW history, as far as pay-per-view or whatever. And now he has the highest rated TV match. It's 6 months, man. 6 months. If he's not your wrestler of the year, I don't know what your criteria is.
That's it, dude.
You know what I mean, he could not wrestle another match this year. He should be your wrestler of the year.
Yeah. So, shouts out to that. So, we'll move on, though, to TV time with the FTW champion, the Learning Tree, Chris Jericho. Talked about how he was on the very first Dynamite, and he's been on almost every single one since. He's never going to miss another Dynamite. I'll be everyone on every single one until 500. And when you listen to the Learning Tree, good treat, things happen. When you don't, people get hurt. I'm begging you to listen to the Learning Tree, because look what happens to when you don't. Shibata, Hook, Samoa Joe, they all didn't listen. The pain has to stop. People are getting hurt. You have to realize you have to listen to the Learning Tree. At this point, who would be crazy enough not to listen to the Learning Tree? Who would be psychotic enough not to listen to the teachings and use the teachings of Chris Jericho? Kazanirare. Minoru Suzuki comes out. He walks down to the ramp and he just has a piece of paper in his hand. He walks up to Jericho and goes, next week. And then he hands it over to Brian Keith. He reads it. Official order, AEW, Redwood, and Bad Apple banned from ringside for the FTW championship match, which will be happening at Blood and Guts. Suzuki then headbutts Jericho. Brian Keith and Big Bill then are just stunned, and he just waves at them and then just leaves.
The banning the people from ringside, I think, is starting to get overused in AEW to me.
Well, and that was also what I was going to add to, because they've been really heavy on using the Bucks with their EVP powers. So was this a Bucks call, or was this a Tony Khan call? Like, you know, like,
yeah,
now that there's multiple people calling the shots, whether it be the Bucks, whether it be Christopher Daniels, whether it be TK himself, the idea of who the actual authority in making these acclaims are it gets a little muddled, especially when you do the ban from ringside thing multiple times on over and over and over, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, because it's like you're banning people from ringside on a no DQ match.
Right.
FTW rules means no rules.
It's basically, you know,
you're making a rule to a no rules match.
Why would you do that?
So is Chris Jericho going to get DQ'd if they show up? Because then it's a rules match. Then it's just a regular ass match. I don't know. Logically, it doesn't make sense to me. And this is like not hindsight being 2020. When it was announced, I'm like, so you're adding rules to a no rules match?
Yeah, I mean,
it doesn't make sense.
It really just doesn't.
It doesn't make sense. So you're adding rules to a no rules match. It's wrestling. I know. I take most stuff with a grain of salt. But it's like the whole thing about FTW is that it's a no rules match. Like, think about how Jericho beat Hook. You know, exactly. Beat him over the head with a baseball bat. It's a no rules match. So yeah, I don't know. I'm looking forward to Chris Jericho and Minoru Suzuki. Don't give me.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
Don't get me wrong, it's just the stuff around it doesn't make a lot of sense. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. So now, are you going to DQ? No DQ? I don't know. Whatever.
I just don't even know.
As I say, it was just like one of those things you hear it and you make that face. And you're like, and I look to the left, like someone's there, no one's there. Like, look at Winston. Like, hey, does this make sense, Winston? I'm like, Winston, does this make sense? This doesn't make sense. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Yeah. So. And Winston's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm going to go back to sleep now. So
yeah. it's a good time to go to sleep because the Bucks are on screen during this point. We have the tag champions, Young Bucks, and the Continental Champion, Kazuchika Okada, backstage, and they basically say, we saw what the Acclaimed, Mark Briscoe, Swerve, and all of them said. It's ridiculous, and what it pisses me off is a little bit more is the fact that the Acclaimed thinks they're going to be two-time tag team champions. And that's not going to happen on their watch. So when Matthew then proceeds to go, we need to remind you guys of who we are. We're the elite, the greatest faction in the history of this company. And after we have all the gold, we'll have all the power. I thought you were EVPs. How do you not have power since you started the company? I digress. Y'all are idiots. Nick then brings up the world champion, but then they said what we can do to Swerve. Let's just say that title may become vacant all of a sudden. You're dealing with the most dangerous people in this business, and making his return to the elite is Hangman Adam Page. That's when CEO Mercedes Moné walks by. Get her away from them, please, for the love of Christ. She thanks them for banning Britt from backstage so she can't be celebrating Dynamite 250 with us. So we had another instance of someone being banned.
She did the dance. She did the dance.
She did do the CEO dance, yeah.
And Okada,
that's what I was getting to, yeah. Yeah. So there's like no more drama from the DMD to the CEO via your EVPs.
Bars.
Go drown in a toilet.
Bars.
And your Rainmaker wanted to know if you'll do your cool dance for us. She does the CEO dance. And Okada is like he's swacking. He's sweating. This man is smitten. He was like, she's so hot. Like, again, the carry job is spectacular. It's unbelievable. It's incredible how much this man can just jump from being, you know, vicious, amazing pro wrestler to comedy gold. And just now he's all of a sudden got the hots for Mercedes Moné. You make them a couple, I will be all for it. I don't care. Okada can do no wrong at this point. And it's incredible. I don't know how someone can have the wrestling abilities of, like, it's basically as if you, like, if R-Truth could also wrestle like Shawn Michaels at this point. It's weird, right? It shouldn't work, but that's what Okada's doing right now. It's so weird.
Yeah,
I'll just keep talking about Okada because I could give two shits about the Bucks at this point.
I was gonna say he is. I mean, Okada is, and we're learning more of this. You know, star power translates, right?
It
translates language. It translates everything. You know, it's like, you know, it was like, oh, you know, is he gonna be great for American TV? I mean, yeah, dude. When you look like a star, when you carry yourself like a star, it comes through. If you, a person that doesn't watch AEW can turn in an AEW and you know Okada's a big deal. He has that air of confidence about him. So I did like this. I was doing the CEO dance. I do it a lot. I mean, sometimes when I'm making eggs, I'll be like, CEO. I don't know why. I thought it was so stupid when it first started. Now it's like just... it's like a, just in my head, and it's buried its way. So Okada asking for the dance is all of us. Because
yes.
Now, you know, when you meet Mercedes, you know, when you meet Mercedes, who is not, when you go up to take the picture, who is not going to be doing, they're going to be doing the dance on the way up there? You know, if you don't, yeah. Even if she doesn't do the dance back, you would love for her to do the dance. But even if she don't, you have to still know. You got to do the dance because that's a part of her thing. It's like it's a part of Mercedes. It's honestly what makes Mercedes unique to Sasha Banks. It's like this is a Mercedes thing, the dance and the CEO. So I don't know. I just thought this was a cool little segment. Honestly, I had like no complaints about how the show flowed, the segments after the segments. It was just I thought, like I said, best Dynamite of the year. And this continued it because with every segment, it continued a storyline part. Nothing felt out of place. And whether you like the Young Bucks or not, this in one segment, they expanded what they thought about the Elite. You know, Okada introduced the Okada Mercedes crush and now set up Mercedes. I guess it's a toast. Set up her segment. So everything continued and it was beautifully done.
Moving on. TBS Championship open challenge between Mercedes Moné versus Nyla Rose, someone who wrestled for the first ever Women's World Championship match for AEW in the company's history when she took on Riho on Dynamite.
She got cheated in that match. I just want to throw everything out there.
You. I knew you weren't going to be too happy about this one. I knew this one was going to be bumming you out for sure.
No, I honestly, okay. So Nyla is the queen of maximizing your minutes, right? So
yes.
You had this match where you knew Mercedes was going to win. Everyone knew Mercedes was going to win. You know, it's just obvious. But there's this moment in the match. Mercedes tries to DDT Nyla. And she said, "Are you out of your mind?" And then turned it into the suplex onto the ropes and then neither. It was just such an awesome moment. It was like, and I'm like, I've seen the GIFs and the videos online, but in real time, it was an awesome, like, yes. Like, dude, this was a match that honestly you'll watch. It was fine. Mercedes won. And you forget about it 10 seconds later. But I'm never, that gift is going to live on forever on the internet. And yeah, so when someone tries, like, we're playing college football and somebody tries to go on an outside run and I shut it down, I'll be like, are you out of your mind? Yeah, yeah. So that's going to be a new part of my lexicon.
Right. Yeah, no, this match was solid enough. Nyla had some good moments in there. Mercedes still looks spectacular. It's so good seeing her mocking the DMD chants and pulling out her own fake, her own glove, basically, to set up. She looked like she hit the lockjaw, but then Nyla bites down on her hand. So she transitions into the statement maker and gets the tap out win. She then goes up to a fan who has a Britt Baker sign, takes it and tears it up. However, the fan then proceeds to pie face Mercedes Moné. She's wearing a Sting mask, takes it off, and it's Dr. Britt Baker DMD. She chases after Mercedes. Then a security comes and forms, basically blocking her off. That's when they are separating each other. So continuing to get Britt Baker to try to get her hands on Mercedes. It was well done. I liked it a lot.
So my brain is going to be broken forever because whenever I'm at the show and I see anyone in the first or second row with a Sting mask on and they maybe have a nice little size to them, I'm going to wonder what wrestler it is.
Exactly.
Because it's the thing. And it's like, it's how Sting's going to live. I mean, Sting's going to live forever in AEW memory, but it's a good part of it. And she tagged Sting on Twitter after. It was just such a moment when she took off the mask. And yeah, like I said, it's so like people wear masks to show. So it's like, you know, it's very believable. Like, oh, how did she get in? Oh, she just looks like a fan. And yeah, and she was like ready to whoop that ass. And, you know,
Yeah.
It's like security in AEW definitely needs to come with hazard pay. I don't know if they're having a hazard pay. Maybe you get to go to catering first. But you're probably going to get beat up at some point. So, so you need to watch yourself. And Britt was looking good. They are doing, like, it's very close to this match being my most anticipated match of all in. It's because they're doing
it's
such.
It's absolutely mine. Yeah.
They're doing such a good job of building it. Just
you
like
see it, them you want to your job.
And you know. You know, and Britt's very open about how she looks up to, you know, looks up to Mercedes or Sasha when she was Sasha. So it's like, you know, she's had this match in her mind for a while. So, and then Mercedes, one of the better wrestlers in the world, it's going to be great to see how they put that together.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how that match plays out at All In. And again, it's just great seeing these two just be one of the hottest things in AEW for sure. We then had Jack Perry backstage saying how Darby Allin wanted his attention and he's got it now. And he proceeded to go like, I mean, did you have to go and hurt Brandon Cutler? Maybe what I meant to say is, do you think I give a shit about Brandon Cutler? So then he's got Brandon Cutler at his feet. He throws him into some doors and says, come to find me tonight and I'll show you what a real sacrifice looks like. Okay. You know, like, ooh, you beat up Brandon Cutler. Like, I'm so threatened and all that kind of stuff. So, ooh.
Yeah, ooh. And you beat him up after Darby Allin beat him up.
Exactly.
So, I'm like, he was already beat up. And you beat up poor Brandon. Brandon's the video guy. Brandon, hey.
He's the D&D guy.
Yeah, I mean, Brandon's my guy. I love me some Brandon. Yeah.
I take Brandon Cutler on my screen more than Jack Perry at this point.
I'll say this. Brandon Cutler has no idea how much Floyd loves Brandon Cutler. I'm like, dude would be on TV every week. But, yeah, so he got beat up. And, yeah, so like I said, we're probably getting Jungle Boy and Darby Allin at All In. I wonder if there's going to be real glass and if anybody's going to cry about it.
I don't know. I was just going to say, like, should I prepare to cry a river or just a pond or, you know, reference another Justin Timberlake song or, you know, figure it out? Or are you actually going to find a new tune to sing? You know, are you going to learn a second character trait? Are you going to learn how to actively draw heat? Because you haven't done it yet, not even close. So I don't know. Maybe you'll actually learn at some point. Seemingly you just have no capability to do so in just I don't know. Prove me wrong. You haven't done so so far, though. But moving on to the shit that matters, the AEW Women's World Champion Timeless Toni Storm walks out, her back facing the camera, and we were like, wait a minute, we were supposed to hear from Mariah May, and then she turns around, and it's Mariah May impersonating Toni Storm. However, I couldn't tell for a second.
No,
because it was so...
The video was shot well. It was shot well.
It was shot so well, dude.
Because their body shapes are completely different, but...
I know.
Yeah. They did it so perfect.
They hit it so well, and like I looked at her face, and I was like, is that Toni? I mean, it looks like Toni, but then I looked at, like, you know, they are different sizes and stuff like that. So, and I was like, no, that's 1,000% Mariah. Incredible, incredible moment. And Mariah then proceeds to be like, let's be honest. You all saw it coming. Everybody saw it coming. Except for Toni Storm. A woman who was so desperate for the spotlight, she didn't realize she was giving it all away. The question shouldn't be the why. The question should be, what took you so long, Mariah? And she's like holding things on and like the crowd's like booing her. And then the one thing that people are really holding on to on social media was what Toni Schiavone said on commentary, which was like, oh, speak, bitch. Like, yeah, come on now. And Taz freaked out on it. Excalibur was taken aback. It was a thing that got a lot of people talking.
What did he say?
Oh, speak, bitch. Come on now.
Wow.
It was funny as shit.
Yes.
She was about to talk, and then she hears some boos, and then she's just like, ugh, and then just like turns to the crowd disgustedly, and that Schiavone just goes, oh, speak, bitch. Come on now. Like, it's, our friend Justin literally did a spit take when that happened. It was so funny.
That is awesome. That is awesome. I like honestly somehow missed that. Again, people talk to me while I watch wrestling, so sometimes I miss the small things. So, no, that's crazy. Yeah, Toni Schiavone's gotten a little salty.
A little bit.
And this year, it feels like we've gotten salty Schiavone. So I like it.
Yeah, and it wasn't offensive. She's a heel, guys. Grow the fuck up. Like, calm down about, like, the all that's so disrespectful of Toni Schiavone.
I know.
Guys.
Everybody has their things. Everybody has their hang-ups. I think you got to turn that off when you watch wrestling. I truly do. I do.
This is a girl who literally just proceeded to bust a woman open, slam her with a belt, and then stab her in the head with a heel of a shoe and cause her to bleed profusely. And we're going to complain about Toni Schiavone calling her a bitch.
Yes.
She wouldn't actively get on with her promo.
And he was the voice of the audience right there.
Yes.
He's the voice of the audience. He was voice of the people that love Toni Storm.
He's the babyface color commentator.
Correct.
Taz is the heel commentator. And then, you know, Excalibur is the man in the middle. Do we not realize this, guys?
Yeah. No.
Like,
no.
Seriously.
I think, like I said, I understand a lot of people use their real names and different things, but it's just like people forget that this is a TV show. It's a TV show.
Yeah, it'll just drive me up a wall sometimes. So, getting back to Mariah, though, she goes, I didn't think that this whole thing would last this long either, but it was just so easy. I was having so much fun when I was stringing her along. I wanted to see how far I would really go. But then I saw Wembley, and I thought, why not? You just take the old horse out back. Instead of doing that, I can kill it in front of as many people as humanly possible. She said, I've been Toni Storm, and now I can be so much more. Don't worry, Toni, I'll still love you. In fact, I have never loved you more than when you were on your knees, bleeding, crying, and screaming my name. This was your greatest performance, and my greatest performance will be at All In, because All Elite Wrestling is now all about Mariah. I thought this was a pretty damn good first promo as a heel. Having her dress up, because I mean, her whole character was that she was basically the understudy for Toni Storm, dressing up as her old gimmick, coming out to her old music. So now she dresses up as Timeless Toni Storm. I think it all fits so well. It's very well done. Mariah really got into it, and I thought she did some good stuff. And I'm excited for when Timeless Toni Storm comes back and then we get this match at All In. Like, it's going to, it's, the women are killing it, dude. They've got exciting matches that I'm really looking forward to, honestly, for All In. That's two banger matches for All In that we got from the women. And that doesn't even count the TBS championship, you know? I mean, well, that counts the TBS championship. That doesn't even count the world championship, I should say. Sorry.
Dude, if you were clamoring for women's wrestling to matter more in AEW, you are living your moment right now. This is this is everything. Yeah, because they're killing it right now.
They are. Finally, champion versus champion, Swerve Strickland versus the AEW Continental Champion, Kazuchika Okada. Man, this was a really good match, but it would have probably been match of the night if it wasn't for what opened the show. Okada and Swerve still did a damn good job.
You know what? I'm going to give him a good thought. I thought that they did a really, really good job, in my opinion, of not giving us too much.
Yeah, they knew that, like, you know, we just saw almost an hour-long match. The match did exactly what it needed to do, I feel like, considering how if you went to try to top that, you know, you couldn't. There was no chance. You try to, and you're going to burn the crowd out, I feel like. So they didn't do that.
Yeah.
They had the guys do some really good work. And then remember, this is all still building towards Blood and Guts, which is a multi-man match. So as the match goes on, some great counters, Swerve getting out of the Rainmaker to hit a Swerve Stomp, which was awesome. He's about to get ready to do a Swerve Stomp from the top rope when the Bucks jump in and blindside him. Ref calls the match off. It ends in a DQ. The Acclaim comes to the ring, helping out Swerve. Jack Perry then comes down. That's when Mark Briscoe comes down, and everyone's trading swipes, and everyone's beating up, and they're all out fighting to the floor and everything like that. And as it looks like things are going wrong, that's when Swerve hits Jack Perry with a house call, and then Hangman comes out. He's getting ready to go kill Swerve Strickland, but then Okada proceeds to pull him out of the ring. It's 5-on-4. That's when Darby Allin's music plays, and he descends from the rafters, which is, you know, just spectacular. Having that pass on to Darby Allin is just so picture perfect, and he comes out. And there's the fifth member. Darby Allin is joining Team AEW, and they will be wrestling Blood and Guts next week. Both teams are fighting, brawling, building. There's a closing moment before we tease to Blood and Guts for next week. And it was nice. I think it was solid. I love Darby being in this match. I think he's going to do some insane shit. And again, I've always said, if anybody represents AEW more than just, you know, Swerve obviously represents AEW being the world champion. That's a no-brainer, and he does it spectacularly well. But if anybody who is not a champion just exudes AEW in all of the wrestling, it's Darby Allin. He is an OG. He is a former pillar. This man is AEW to a T, and I've always said he's basically, not counting the world champion, he is the unofficial face of AEW, because there's no way he would have gotten any chance or sniffed any TV time if he was at the other company. And it's just because that's not what they're looking for.
And you know what? In a lot of ways, you're talking about it made this thought. So this is a new thought. So
go ahead.
This is probably the most Team AEW. The Acclaimed. Where else are they known for? They're AEW, right? Darby Allin, AEW. Swerve. He was in WWE, basically, like, debuted and was gone. AEW. Mark Briscoe, unfortunately, there was reasons he wasn't on TV. First national TV job, AEW.
Right, so it makes sense, because all of, like, FTR... You know, they started
WWE. Revival. Yeah,
Bryan Danielson. You know, I get it. It's original guys that were.
This is the most cultivated. Team AEW. Yes. Yeah.
No, I 1,000% agree with that. I do, and I'm not trying to take away from that from the team. More so from the fact of, like, I feel like AEW has other OG talents that could, you know.
If you ask me,
I'm not trying to play it down. I'm not saying it's not a good team, but I just feel like there could be more. Feels like there could be.
For me, it would have been Swerve and the Blackpool Combat Club. That would have been Team AEW to me. Because if you want somebody in a fight, you call the Blackpool Combat Club. They love to just fight
it like that, dude.
You just call the Blackpool Combat Club. But you've done Blackpool Combat Club in the Elite and all that stuff before, so I understand. I don't, you know, you might want to save that for another big show. I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know. Like I said, I'm not downgrading. That was just a new thought that this Team AEW is probably more Team AEW than the previous Team AEW.
I understand that completely. I do, truly.
Yeah.
I just, like I said, I'm just a guy who feels like you could.
I mean, you know me. I always want FTR in every match, in every feud. And so with me saying, oh, I'd rather have FTR in there, it's like, duh. They're like, you don't even have to listen to the show like for 10 seconds to know I'd rather have FTR in there. But, you know, the claim makes sense on a different level.
Yes. Yeah, but if there was another person, like, for example, that could be on Team AEW, it would be Orange Cassidy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No,
I feel like he could be a good person to be in there.
And they have made a lot of stars.
Or the Lucha Bros, which I think they're... Yeah. Are they not hurt right now still? Or
No, they're literally...
But they came back, I know.
No, I was actually... I forgot about the notes. They just got announced for AAA.
Yeah.
Yeah, so which is crazy because, you know, it was the thing that they couldn't be on the same show.
Couldn't be on the same show exactly.
No, they got announced for CMLL is what I meant.
Right.
Yeah, so... So that's
another thing, too. Lucha Bros could have been, the tag team instead of Acclaimed. I'm just spitballing, obviously. I'm not trying to downgrade anything.
Anybody but the Acclaimed is what Austin is saying.
Not trying to hate. I'm really not.
Private Party, let's put them in. Just kidding. Let's go.
Yeah. So, but that was AEW 250. It's basically been perceived as like probably the best Dynamite of the year. It's super, super well done. And again, I think just the only real complaint we have about it is just, you know, it didn't feel like a 250th anniversary episode. It felt like if you wanted to really kick that into new gear, you would shine a light on, you know, all the talent that have been there from the beginning or some of the most spectacular moments in AEW Dynamite's history or all that kind of stuff. So that's really the only thing that we have that could be a complaint.
Yeah. So the ratings for the show, they did like 833,000.27. It's the highest rated show in a few months, and people are like, "Oh, what's the 250?" I'm like, "No." What I think has happened is this is the third great Dynamite in a row.
Now the streak just kind of happened. Yeah.
So when you talk about ratings, right? It's not like, okay, you put on an amazing show. Well, the show happened. It's not affected ratings. What's going to happen is people or whatever are going to say, oh, man, this show was amazing. So a few more people will tune in the next week. And then a few more people tune in the next week. And then somebody's like, I think Dynamite's back. And then a few more people tune in. So if you're going over it, this rating wasn't the product of this show being good, which was great. It was that the last two shows were really good and they're really putting the stories together. And now we're about to head into Glut and Guts and we might get our fourth great Dynamite in a row.
Exactly. The streak has just been really damn good.
So yeah.
There's a reason to make it weekly.
So that first few months of the year, where, even me, I was kind of like, where are they going kind of thing. And it's like, if you watch those episodes and things that happen in the show, it was all building to this four-week amazing streak of wrestling. It was just like, you kind of had to eat your vegetables. And now you're getting your entree right now. And it's been nothing but entrees and desserts over the last few weeks.
Yeah. No, it's been really, really great to see. Of course, Rampage just aired tonight when we're recording this. But for Collision, it's the start to the path to All In Summer Series that they are doing in Texas.
I'm coming home. Coming home.
Arlington, Texas, man. We got that whole streak of not just Collision, but Death Before Dishonor, which is taking place next Friday.
Dude. So, yeah. I'm going to be driving a lot over the next month. I am looking, like, you will never see a person more happy to go back and forth to Texas. I will, you know, be at Collision. I will be at Death Before Dishonor. I am so excited to be representing the ROH. My girl Athena, you know, gotta rock my Minion shirt at some point. And I'm so excited for this. And they gave you a loaded first show. And what I'm almost excited about, right? So they went in a few days ago and they started doing the thing. And great thing about AEW, nothing's been leaked. We have no idea how it's gonna look. So this is the first time this building has ever held wrestling. So the first time AEW has held this belt wrestling in the setup, and they're going to be setting up for like 4 to 5 weeks. So it's like, how unique is it going to be? What are they going to do to get, you know, because, you know, it's not going to hold a lot of people, but it's going to be where, you know, all the people can get loud. Tomorrow I am with my friend Rusty. We're in the first row. When a wrestler comes out and you look to the right, you'll be like, hey, that's Floyd. And so I'm really excited, like, for the how they set it up. And I'm not a big, like, oh, this venue, you know, is amazing. I'm not a big person like that. But this is, like, almost like what they do with the NXT Full Sail or whatever. So you're going to get this moment where it's like, how's AEW going to make their studio, their setup, unique and pop to the people on camera? Because one thing about NXT is, like, it's shot in an area and there's never more than 1,500, 2,000 people, but they're all going nuts. And, you know, they're all going nuts and it always feels like a big show. This is AEW's chance to do that. Texas is always a great crowd. So, yes, I am, because, you know, I'm part of the Texas crowd. I'm calling everybody out. You know, take this 1,000 to 1,500 or whatever number is in there, and let's, you know, be ruckus. I'm going to be up on my feet cheering as much as possible. You'll probably catch me doing the CEO dance a little too much. And we get new champions on the first show.
Yeah.
And, yeah, again, you know, so this is okay. You got to go back to this because this is a thing from early night. So you got the FTW match with no rules. Then you all of a sudden got Christopher Daniels making up a rule that you can't have substitutions on a team when substitutions on a team are literally a part of AEW's history.
Yes.
The first tag team champions was Frankie Kazarian and Scorpio Sky. They were not the original. They were not the original people in that tournament.
No.
It was Frankie Kazarian and Christopher Daniels. Scorpio Sky replaced them. So that's the AEW side. Samoa Joe stepped in for Adam Cole to defend the tag team titles. Why? Because of an injury. The same thing Juice Robinson was going to do. Make it make sense. I don't care if you change rules and stuff, but give us a reason that you're changing the rule, and I will go with it. Because I try not to think too hard about wrestling. I've even said it's a TV show. But when you say we're changing the rule and he literally gives no reason the rule is changing, that is kind of like that goldfish thinking. Oh, they won't remember that. No.
Exactly.
You literally say your show is for the sickos. The sickos pay attention. The
sickos remember.
The sickos remember. They pay attention to this. They have it tattooed on their skin that it happened on this day. They got an alarm set to it. So if you're going to say your show's for the sickos, treat your show like it's for the sickos.
Pretty much it, dude. That's pretty much it. In terms of what's going to be on this episode of Collision to kick off the Arlington, Texas shows at the Esports Stadium Arlington for the Path to All In Summer Series. The Patriarchy will be facing the Bang Bang Gang. We're going to get Roderick Strong versus Tomohiro Ishii. FTR will be speaking at the show. A lumberjack match between Thunder Rosa and Deonna Purrazzo. Darby Allin is going up against the Beast Mortos. Sky Blue will face Hikaru Shida. And we're going to get the debut of Hologram, who had some videos going around and who everybody is saying is Ricochet.
Hologram. So, yeah, let's. I'm excited for the show because we're getting like new champions. We're getting Thunder Rosa, who's one of my favorite women's wrestlers, and I love Deonna Purrazzo. And now I got a I feel like they missed out on something.
Go ahead.
This should have been a Texas Death Match.
Which one? The
Lumberjack match should have been a Texas Death Match.
Since they're in Texas,
In Texas. It's one of the signatures of AEW is the Texas Death Match. Let's do the Texas Death Match with but maybe we get it. Maybe we get it. They got a few weeks. Maybe this is building to a Texas Death Match. Maybe I'm jumping the gun. Let me say that. But it was like my first instinct when I saw it. I was like, man, I'm excited because I don't think we've seen a female lumberjack match in AEW. So I think that might be a first. So maybe they're leading to a Texas Death Match. Maybe they're starting new rivalries with this. We'll see where it goes. But I was like, this should be a Texas Death Match.
Sad. I can understand that. I can. Yeah. That is what we got going on for Collision. And then we have a couple other pieces of headline news that we want to get through before we close out the show. Floyd, go ahead.
All right. First, rumor has it, it looks like from Dave Meltzer and this guy that like tweets Dave Meltzer stuff, that AEW might have a TV deal in principle. I'm going to use might, and I'm using as many non-committal things is because we've been down this road, with me especially. My heart's been broken. I've predicted that the TV deal was coming like 150,000 times, even though we've only done 200 something episodes, you know, but I've predicted it a lot. So, I'm going to go ahead and wait, but, it's a rumor that the exclusive deal with, WBD was up this weekend. So they have a deal in principle to continue the TV show. That would make me very, very happy if that is the case. And then to me, the biggest piece of news, Pride, Social Suplex's own Rich Latta, the lead producer on AEW's We Are Here Too. It's on all your streaming platforms. My favorite song is the Willow Nightingale song. It was The Babe with the Power. Rich actually raps on that one and produces it. And then there's a cipher that ends the ends it, and I thought it was amazing. I do think all great songs. I think Carly Bravo, he raps on it, Swerve raps on it, and I think they did a really good job. I think this is a solid album that everybody should listen to. I am really proud of Rich. The dude is immensely talented in so many different ways. One Nation Radio, literally one of the only podcasts like that I listen to weekly. So I just wanted to give a shout out to him because he was also on AEW Unrestricted this week. I'm like, Rich is on the roster. I think
he's moving.
I think we need a Rich Latta is all elite sign. I think we need to start that hashtag that Rich Latta is all elite because this man is in there. He is in it, and it's like when people get a chance, you know, and sometimes people get a chance and you're like, you can tell a friend got the job. But when they get a chance and then they knock it out the park, because this was a really, really solid, really, really good album. I literally turned my volume down on my college football because it's actually the college football soundtrack is just drums. So
it's
I turned that down and I just have this been playing on repeat for the last few days. Everybody should listen to it. Everybody should download it. If you haven't listened to it, I'm mad at you. Just know I am angry at you. I don't know you, but I'm angry at you for not listening to it. Go out and support Rich. Share it on your social medias. Share it everywhere. Make sure everybody listens to it. Because, he's definitely proud of his work. We at the Social Suplex, I think I can speak with everybody on Social Suplex. They can, punch me if I can't. But I think we're all proud of him because, dude, everyone knew he was this talented. You know, he needed the shot. And, through AEW, he's had the shot. He's on the Marina Shafir song. He is just, built up his thing. And now pretty much the lead producer on this album. So he was the lead producer, tagged and everything. So, dude, That's fucking cool. That's the best way I can say it's fucking cool.
Absolutely. So shout out to Rich Latta, and definitely listen to that. And then the one last thing I'll add too is that we did have two things announced for Dynamite this next week, which is MJF will be speaking as the new international champion. He'll be getting a live mic, so we'll hear from him. And we'll be seeing the debut of the glamour Mariah May. So Mariah May's new character, basically herself, not just Toni Storm's understudy, and coming out to Toni Storm's old music. So that's the only thing that we've got announced for Dynamite so far. But other than that, that's going to do it for this episode of All Things Elite. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in and listening every single week. Thank you for putting up with my super shot voice. I appreciate y'all. If you enjoyed the show, you can support us by downloading it on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, whatever you choose to listen to us on. And if you listen to us on Spotify, whatnot, give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish, no matter what platform you listen to us on. Rate, review, subscribe, all of that 9 yards, and follow us on social media. We are at AT Elite Pod on Twitter. You can also follow at Social Suplex, who make this show possible, and check out all the other shows they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumowicz, SZUMOWICZ. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter, and I will pass this off to my buddy Floyd so he can take us home on this episode of All Things Elite.
Well, if you decide to stop the show at this point, I agree, because I dedicate this part of the show to my beautiful wife, the love of my life, Crystal. This week, we celebrated our 5-year anniversary of being married. Around 7 years ago, I asked her to marry me, and she was like, she was like, I want to get married in July of 2019. I was like, God, you want to be, engaged that long? That's a stupid long time. I want to marry you now. And she's like, no, let's do it. And let's do it then. She like wanted to get time to get, everything out. We both wanted a big wedding. We did our thing. Who knew? It's like she knew before I knew that we'd be getting married the same year or a couple months after AEW was born. So our anniversary is always going to line up with AEW's birthday. So I'll never forget it. Ever. However, AEW turns 5, we turn 5. AEW turns 6, I won't ever forget how long we're married. So it was perfect. I don't even know where they, she was a genius. And we got married on Thursday, July 18th, 2019, 5 years, Thursday, July 18th, 2024. It's kind of crazy. It's perfect, but yeah. She gave me something. This is for her. She'll never hear it because she doesn't listen to the show, but she gave me something I didn't even know I required in life, and that is peace. And once you have peace in life, I'll tell anyone like this, everything else is enhanced. You love your friends more, you love your life more, you love your hobbies more, because you don't have that anxiety from life. So shout out to my wife, Crystal Johnson. The love of my life, the reason I wake up in the morning, as much as I love wrestling and Kansas City and everything that I love as far as sports, nothing compares to how much I love her. So happy anniversary. I love you, and I will leave you all how I always leave you, whether it is home, work, or school. Always do your best to be elite.